Good morning. I drove in here this morning and saw all those leaves lying on the ground. And my radio was blaring, "How great thou art. We will gather at the river." I heard four of them on the way in, and I forgot the other two, but they were the good old gospel songs. And as I looked down at the leaves falling on the ground, all I could do was thank my father, who's a disabled veteran, World War II, and thank every veteran, because as I counted the leaves, I counted the lives that gave something to me, freedom. And I hope we all thank every vet we know. The reading today is Mark 12, 38, 44. As he taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive their great condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasure. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live for." Thus is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning seems to be about stewardship, or how we are to manage the resources that God has entrusted to our care. In our story, the scribes are bad stewards. A lot has been entrusted to their care, yet they waste their resources. They are given honor in the community, yet they rip off the most vulnerable in society, which specifically Mark is talking about widows and orphans. Ironically, the poor widow is this great steward. Not much has been entrusted to her care, but she offers everything she has to an institution that is probably corrupt and likely to be condemned. This morning, I want to suggest that this reading of Mark's gospel is a little too simplistic. And particularly in Mark's gospel, we need to be suspicious of overly simplistic readings, because Mark is trying to present a portrait of discipleship in all of its complicated messiness. I believe that the primary focus of this text is not stewardship, but discipleship. Yes, followers of Jesus need to learn how to manage the resources entrusted to their care. But the life of faith requires not just sacrifice, but offering. We, like the widow, are to offer all that we have and all that we will be to God for the sake of the world. In our story, the scribes are terrible disciples. They throw in large amounts of money into the treasury, but they're terrible at following God's law. Remember, Jewish law, and later Jesus, has very specific instructions for how the wealthy are to care for the vulnerable in society. Namely, widows, orphans. folks who cannot care for themselves and have no one to care for them. Instead, the scribes devour widows' homes. Even though what they're doing technically wasn't illegal, it's not how the well-off are to care for the vulnerable. The poor widow, on the other hand, is a great disciple. She takes everything that she has and she throws it into the temple treasury. The temple, which, as you see from the scribes, is not the most upstanding institution. And she does this because this is how she lives out the greatest commandment: to love God while at the same time loving her neighbors. And Jesus praises her in front of the disciples because she has given everything she is and everything she has in service to God. Think of it this way: she is offering her whole self to God, whereas the scribes are only offering what they can afford. She is offering to God the greatest and perhaps only thing she possesses: herself. As I was preparing this sermon, I was trying to think about what would it look like for us, ordinary, everyday people, to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. I believe that all of us have parts of ourselves and our personalities that we would rather not share with others, let alone offer up to God. For me, it is the fact that I am what they call an introvert. I am somebody who tends to expend energy around people, rather than extroverts who are kind of like the Duracell rechargeable bunny when they're around people. They tend to gain a lot of energy. Now, even though I'm an introvert, I'm not shy. I try not to be awkward. And I really enjoy things like public speaking and preaching. I just prefer, when I'm tired, to unwind by doing things that are a little bit quieter, like crocheting or reading, rather than going out with my friends. The reason that I struggle to offer this to God is because I have it in my head that pastors are supposed to be extroverts. Pastors are supposed to be really great at working coffee hours after church. They're supposed to be better at this than they are at writing job descriptions or planning for worship. I'm not making this up. I have seen my extroverted colleagues work coffee hours in countries where no one speaks English. They will have spoken to everybody in the coffee hour before I have even figured out, okay, which table is the coffee table? How much coffee am I supposed to take? And is this a country where you put sugar in or cream? Because I thought that good pastors were extroverts, I spent the first year of my ministry trying to fake being an extrovert. And really, all that did was make me feel incredibly awkward. And I'm sure I came across as ingenuine. I decided somewhere around the 1 year anniversary of my ordination that I had to stop pretending to be someone I'm not. God has called me to pastoral ministry, so I had to learn how to trust that God would use me as I am for God's glory. One of the surprising things that I learned when I stopped trying to be an extrovert is that when we present who we are to God, God uses us in really surprising ways. It was only when I stopped pretending to be an extrovert that I saw the blessings of being an introvert. Introverts are really great listeners. They can be skilled administrators, and they're lifelong learners. We're able to spend quiet afternoons at the church planning for the week ahead. We're great one-on-one in nursing homes or in hospital rooms. We may not be the loudest. We're certainly not the most charismatic. But God uses us to shepherd God's people and to call them into deeper discipleship. A couple of weeks ago, I had the privilege of attending the ordination service of one of my friends from seminary. This particular friend is transitioning to pastoral ministry after, I think she said, 30 years serving as a ruling elder or session member in her church. In our Presbyterian tradition, we understand ordination as a specific way that someone lives out their discipleship. In most of the ordination services you will attend, we always sing this one particular hymn, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" As we sang this hymn at her ordination, I was struck by the third verse. "Will you love the you hide if I but call your name? Will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound, in you and you in me." Friends, Jesus praises the widow's offering because she is offering all that she has, all that she may ever have, to God. She is a poor widow, and she only has two coins. She offers these two coins because she trusts that God is going to use them for God's glory. I imagine this offering would have been difficult for her to make, particularly because she would have had to make it in front of the scribes who are throwing a lot of money at the offering. She knows when she offers her two coins that she's probably going to face the ridicule of the scribes. Even though it isn't much, her offering is all she has, and it will have to be enough. Friends, I wasn't surprised when most of you recognized this scripture passage. We tend to read it every year around this time, as our church and many other churches enter into something that is commonly called stewardship season, where we as a church will discern who God is calling to serve in the ordered ministries of our church, in our church particularly as session members or on deacons. And we will do this by presenting our nominations for these ministries. At the same time, we as a church are discerning where God is calling us to go in the future as we put together a budget for 2019. This year, I want us to start thinking about stewardship not so much as a season of management, but as a season of discipleship. We Presbyterians are great at managing the resources that God has entrusted to our care. We create beautiful budgets, and our nominating slates are very well organized. But we stand to grow in presenting our resources and our gifts as an offering to God for the sake of the world. We stand to grow in thinking about how ordained ministry or financial giving might be an opportunity for us to offer all that we are and all that we have to God. A wise friend of mine once told me, "God actually doesn't need your money or your work, but you need to give your work and your money to God if you want to offer all of yourself to God. Because it is only in giving ourselves away that we learn who God is calling us to be. Also, giving ourselves away is the best and maybe only way for us to loosen the grip we have around our reputations and our resources. Friends, I want to end by saying that I actually take great comfort in the knowledge that our job isn't to overturn the corrupt practices of the scribes. God already has that under control. Corrupt people, practices, and institutions are all going to crumble in God's time. Our job is to be faithful to what God is calling us to be right here and right now, while at the same time being open to the surprises that God has in store for us along the way. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.